Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Bay Area, this is Jonathan Kuminga. You're listening to Wheeler and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. You know what, Dibs? I like your picks.
Yeah, you do, JK. Don't let me get hot, Jonathan. Don't let the Dibber get hot.
Oh, my God.
Niner game?
Have you called,
green check.
Have you called Kyle yet? Be like, field goal. That's exactly what I was thinking there at the end of the game.
Can I be honest with you? Yesterday,
I would demand it, actually.
Late third, early fourth quarter, the game's in hand, and my daughter, who's three, wanted to ride her balance bike at the nearby school.
Oh,
and
gosh,
so,
I thought you were going to say your three-year-old daughter was also riding the Deborah.
Like, no,
I,
like, and just, she, well, she's like, we will play horsey occasionally.
I thought she put a quarter on it or something. Like,
no, what she wanted to go out and ride her balance bike. So okay. I said, you know what, this thing's in hand. They're not going to lose the game. I'll go ahead and catch up on this later. So we go down to the local school, and she's riding her balance bike, and she's doing pretty well. And
nice.
I'm checking my scores on my phone, and I'm thinking, geez, okay, well, they're not going to cover. Whatever. I'm not going to get mad about it. And then I put the phone away, and I get back home, and it's like, wait, minus 12 and a half?
Yep.
How in the heck did they cover? And so I'm watching the fourth quarterback, and all I can think about, Sean McVegas. Because Kyle Shanahan, he went full on like, here's one for the boosters, because he didn't have to kick it. I'm looking here, a minute 10 to go. You're up by 10. You could just like sneak it, kneel it, and go home. Or you could kick it.
That isn't the one that Eddie P missed, and then there was a penalty.
That was earlier,
yeah. Right?
I don't want to get too deep into the Niners and how many breaks they got, but that was one of the bigger breaks where he missed the 51-yarder. And your boy Simmons, who had quite a game. He had a forced fumble, he scored a touchdown, and he committed that penalty, which ultimately kind of led to their demise.
Yeah, I mean, they're
going to lose anyway.
The game was in hand. Anyway,
he misses a kick.
Nice cover.
And with the missed kick, you get the ball at the 41 if you're Tennessee. You're only down by 14.
I will let our audience know. So you picked the Niners.
Yep.
Minus 12 and a half.
Cuckoosh.
And then... they have a late field goal, and they won by 13, and it snapped a four-game slide.
And I also took Minnesota with you jackals clapping and dancing and singing, and they won outright, Cuckoosh. So the Monday night pick is in.
Oh, we got to do that later.
Don't let me get hot with three in a row.
I'll let you get hot. I got no problem with you being hot.
I'm about to.
Yeah.
You won't.
Warming up, Dibs. I'm about to.
Warm it up, Dibs, because that's what you were born to do.
Thank you. Anyway.
All right.
Two white guys with a 30-year-old wife song.
I mean, wow. I do have a Ricky Pearsall update.
Okay.
Wide receiver Ricky Pearsall re-aggravated his PCL. Quote, they'll see how the week goes with his knee and his ankle, because remember there were two injuries yesterday, basically, that he played through and looked awesome. Not sure if he'll be able to practice this week. And stop me if you've heard that before about Ricky Pearsall.
Yeah, he's not playing.
He's not playing.
On Monday.
Although it is
Monday, so.
Yeah, you get an extra day, but.
You do.
Yeah.
And the first one was on the opening catch with the hip drop tackle.
Yep.
Which, throw the flag.
Dude,
like,
they don't enforce it. They made the rule, and it's a complete window dressing rule. They do not enforce it. I see it everywhere.
Yeah.
And dudes are getting hurt because of it still.
And it's easy to see when you have a defender from behind grab a guy and pick him up from behind and pull him down from the backside. Like, that's an easy call for me.
Yep.
it's tougher than, like, sometimes a defender hits the quarterback's helmet, like, trying to block a pass, and that should be a flag every time, but it's not. That's a little bit tougher. These ones are out in the open, and Ricky limps off, and then he comes back, and he plays great, and then he limps off. It's just, it's frustrating.
Yeah, it's aggravating. Yep. But
it's re-aggravating.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. We'll go back to the phones in a sec. Here's what, here's what I want to say about the whole Warriors ownership thing.
Okay. I'll lay out.
I'm concerned because he's so stubborn. And I get it. Like, I don't even think stubborn is necessarily a bad characteristic, especially for, like, leaders and bosses and type A's and successful people. Like, demand great, okay? But the issue, and it's not just Joe Lacob, it's the running of the entire Warriors. The issue is that when you see someone, for instance, the rant that I read a little bit ago, and maybe you're just joining us, but just to kind of paraphrase it, it's Joe Lacob from back in May saying, we've got really good young players on this team, and our drafts are great, and all that crap on the internet is just that. It's a bunch of bullshit. And this is, it's situational. You can't have young players get jammed into Steph Curry and Draymond Green and then just put up numbers. It's like, I accept that, but let's look at the behavior of Joe Lacob and the ownership group. It's, damn it, James Wiseman's going to be really good. And like, no, he's not. And then you wait, and then you trade him for second round picks. And then it's, damn it, Jonathan Kuminga is going to fit. It's going to work. He's really good. And it's like, but no, it's not. It's not. And that, again, without blame, it's not working. And he's now sitting there watching Warrior games while making $23 million, waiting for a date so that you can trade him for, I don't know, 25 cents on the dollar, or at least in terms of like the interest around the league. It's way down from what it would have been a year or two ago. And so that stubbornness, even then, flash forward with the idea of, no, like we will continue to win. We will continue to be a championship contender with a 37-year-old and a 36-year-old and a 35-year-old.
Don't forget the 39-year-old.
Yes, we will continue to win. And this concept of continuing to demand that you are right, even when the world is saying that you're wrong, is very billionaire. It's very billionaire. It's very on brand. But it scares me. It scares me a little bit, especially because I do know, like many of us do, what does that look like when Steph Curry's not here anymore? What is that? Do you continue to tell yourself that you're right, even when you are wrong? It's okay to be wrong. I'm wrong all the time. We're all wrong all the time. It's sports. You're guessing. You're evaluating. It's okay to be wrong. What's not okay is to Vulcan death grip on your rightness, even when you're wrong, and then hold it for 3 years and then go, ooh, yeah, actually, I was wrong. Well, now it's too late. Now it's too late. Now you're really paying the price.
But you're not wrong until you're wrong. And I do think that a couple years back, you could look at the Kuminga thing and say, this could still work, you know? This could still be a player who comes in and helps us. He can get better. He can fit better. I don't think that it was as easy then as it is now to look back and say, well, yeah, you should have known a couple years ago. And even back in the summer where Steve Kerr said, we're going to try like heck to get into camp and see if this thing could work. And it did work for a little while. It worked for a few weeks and then it didn't. And it was more than five games. And if you want to look at the actual, you know, log of what JK did, it was better than just a five game stretch. And, you know, Jimmy Butler had taken him under his wing. You haven't heard a lot of that lately about Jimmy Butler and his wing.
Yeah, because
there hasn't been much wing talk.
He's not playing.
No, but
it doesn't matter. I don't care if they're having dinner together anymore.
Is Jimmy like trying to coach him up to get him into a spot where he can play?
Probably.
And that's where I would be, curious to find out. So, yeah, the Lacob Vulcan death grip on being right. He's been right so many times with four titles, and what he's turned this organization into, it's hard to get out of that spot where you know, you've had so much success and now you're going to have sudden humility?
Yes. Yes.
It doesn't work that way.
Steph Curry.
Yep.
Steph Curry.
Well, Steph Curry is cut from a different cloth.
No, but my point is that that's why all of the people around them have had so much success. It's why Joe Lacob's a great owner. It's why Draymond Green's going to the Hall of Fame. It's probably why Klay Thompson's going to the Hall of Fame. It's why Steve Kerr has four rings. Steve Kerr will be the first one to tell you that. And that's my point. What is that? What does this characteristic look like when Steph Curry is not playing anymore? What do all your really good young players look like when Steph Curry's not playing anymore? What does all of it look like? So that they deserve credit. It's kind of like Jeff Kent going to the Hall of Fame. He deserves it. Yeah, like Jeff Kent is great. Would he have gotten all those pitches if he wasn't batting behind Barry? I don't know.
Probably not as many.
Probably not. He played in a bunch of other teams too, and he wasn't as good. So, like, I think that that's important. It's all, one of your favorite words, it's all complimentary.
That's right.
But in this particular case, it does revolve around one son.
No doubt.
Steph Curry.
That's right. And so, when you do all these other things, you make all these other maneuvers, and whether or not it's, you know, getting Jimmy Butler or drafting players that don't work out, you're trying like heck to make it all work around Steph Curry. And when it doesn't, it's hard to just admit, like you're saying, that, you know, maybe things were done incorrectly.
All right, we wanted to get the kind of the ownership angle on the board, and now it is straight to you. 888-957-9570. We see that a lot of you want to weigh in. We're talking about the Warriors situation and whether it's more of a coaching thing or a construction thing. Straight to you for the rest of the afternoon. 888-957-9570. We absolutely will have some Victory Monday stuff in there on the Niners, who are 10-4. We're sponsored by the California Office of Traffic Safety and Caltrans, and this is Willard and Dibs.
Bounces no good. Tipped out. There's your ball game. Grant has it. Game's over. Portland will win, and the Warriors again with a chance to win. A winnable game gets into the L column, and the Warriors waste a tremendous performance by Stephen Curry. A 48-point night for Curry. And they lose by a final score of 136-131. They fall back below 500 at 13-14.
Dub Nation, it's Stephen Curry. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.
Okay, Chef. You just keep doing your thing, and I don't know, maybe something will get figured out around you. It's a Monster Monday presented by Merit America. Visit them at meritamerica.org/super. And we're also brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Started off the show by expressing that I'm ticked off. I'm ticked off at the Warriors. They've ruined Victory Monday.
Yeah, a little bit.
This should be, and still to a degree will, be about our 10-win 49ers. Our banged up 10-win 49ers who could be positioned for the ultimate success. We're getting so close to the possibility. If the Seahawks can beat the Rams on Thursday night and the Rams are now hobbled, I'd be shocked if Davante Adams plays in that game.
Yeah.
On Thursday, Puka Nacua even left, and then he did return. But we'll see about how banged up they are. And no matter how Thursday goes, the Niners can clinch a playoff spot against Old Man Rivers a week from tonight in Indianapolis. But if the Seattle Seahawks beat the Rams and then the Niners take care of business, then the Niners can still be the division champs. The Niners can still be the one seed.
No doubt.
Their games get a lot harder from here, there's no doubt, but the Niners can be the one seed. By the way, Brock Purdy will also probably have to play in some wet weather. I'm looking at weather reports.
Yep.
And starting on about Friday, it's supposed to get wet and stay that way for the rest of 2025.
So a couple more weeks, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
every day.
You know what we all say? We need it, which is one of among the things that annoy me the most. There's one thing, and I should save it for Friday, what's bugging me.
Yeah.
But the expression "on my bingo card," and many of us now use it, and I don't know when this started, like, oh, I didn't have that on my bingo card. First of all, none of you have a bingo card. Second of all, I used to play a game called Bing Low when I was on with Joe Low and Dibs. Bing Low. We had a song too. It was a great bit. And then two people complained, and then it got shut down. But because Low has a certain amount of isms that he would,
sure,
like, you know, same church, same pew. So if you had a Bing Low card, that would be one of the squares. Same church, same pew.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Would be one. When Low did the uptick, so you could play along with the show with all the different Low isms. So I actually had that on my Bing Low card, but none of us have a bingo card. And that's just one that's been really bugging me for the better part of a year.
The whole idea of,
I didn't have that on my bingo card. Like, I didn't have Steph Curry hitting 12 threes in a loss on my bingo card.
I didn't.
No, it's stupid. Like, don't say that.
I do have bingo cards, though.
Right. They have numbers underneath the B, the I, the N, the G, and the O.
Yeah, but there's all kinds of concoctions of bingo.
I get it.
You know what I mean?
No, we actually have a toddler bingo, yeah, which is just like colors and shapes.
Yeah, it's that time of year, too. Families get together and play games, Dibs.
We used to play bingo at Thanksgiving. My mother-in-law would get three presents for everyone, so you had to win three times. So
well, that could take a while.
Believe me, you know? Who hasn't won three times? And so, you know, you get like a case of golf balls. I got like a coffee mug. I got a book on rose trimming for the garden.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
So
I love stuff like that.
Yeah.
My sister has started a thing where you put, it's almost like playing quarters, but with ping pong balls.
Yeah.
And she's just got a whole triangle on her table of little cups, and people are bouncing balls in there and throwing balls in there. And she's put all kinds of stuff. I don't know how much she spends. She's got lottery tickets in there.
Oh, it's fun.
She got gift cards in there to Starbucks and grocery stores. And then there's little things like little shooters, and like, I mean, some of the people are,
yeah, Jude,
17,
11.
So then people are starting to trade. They'll be like, I'll give you a lottery ticket for the vodka.
Totally.
Give me the Tito's. Anyway, 888-957-9570.
Holidays, man.
Yeah. Let's drink. All right. Here's Jonathan. Hi, Jonathan in the city. What's up?
Hey, what's up, Morgan Dibs? Morg, you got a question? I have an answer.
Okay.
This is just based on my opinion, my observation. Question is, what's wrong? And my answer is all of the above. I mean, if I have to enumerate and discuss in details what's wrong with the Warriors, I'm going to need my own show. So I'm just going to boil it down to this. Remember when they're building the dynasty, every move they make is like great. It turns into gold and all that stuff. All the additions, not trading Clay for Kevin Love, Monte for Bogut. And on it goes to the tune of 4 championship. Well, when it's over, it kind of looked like this. So now, a lot of the things we see with the Warriors are head scratchers. Doesn't make sense. Because like I say, it's over. And if you ask me, what am I going to do with that? Well, switch the channel and watch Celebrini on a breakaway. He shoots. He scores! Lachlan Celebrini with a wicked wrist shot.
That's a three for you, Rosalowski. Pretty solid.
The Sharks on, was that Saturday night that they erased that deficit? Was that Friday night or Saturday night? Saturday night? Man, Christy and I were at a bar, and the game was over my left shoulder, and every time I turned around, it was like, it was 4-1, and then it was 4-2, and then it was 4-3, and then it was 4-4, and I was like, oh my God.
Gar. And there should be one more in there, too. Thank you. Thank you.
Gar.
I think that's my favorite. That's a guru doing Dan Rusinowski.
Oh, I know exactly what it is.
Gar.
Yeah.
Gar.
Gar.
Gar. And there's the Gar.
score.
You have to do it. Yeah, the trick is to say score as if you've got a sinus infection.
Score.
That's what it sounds like.
You know, that's the one from the Lion King.
Score.
Who was the villain in the Lion King?
Score.
It was Scar. Score.
Score.
There's Mufasa. And there's
he's a safety score for the Niners. Yeah.
That's right.
Mufasa.
Malik Mufasa.
Malik Mufasa.
That's score. Right.
Anyway.
Simba.
Yeah, go Sharks. Go Sharks. No, listen.
What muscles have I not developed in my midsection?
Gore!
That one.
My gore.
Gore.
Thank you. Do this all day. Holiday book.
Was this inevitable, the way Jonathan says it? And I don't want to take all of your fangs out of you. That's not what I'm trying to do. I know everybody's just furious because the Warriors are so stupid. But was this inevitable?
Of course.
I mean, he's just like...
Of course, it was inevitable.
You don't trade Klay Thompson. You do trade Monte Ellis. Everything turns to gold. Were we supposed to be under the impression that that was just going to be life now for the rest of our days?
I mean, how does anything end? It usually ends like this.
Badly.
It ends badly, but it actually kind of happens more abruptly than you think.
Sure.
And Steph Curry is still, like, as I said in the crossover, he's probably 92% peak Steph. He can't do it as often, but last night's a great example. He had 48. He hit 12 threes. Yeah. He single-handedly kept you in the game. Draymond Green's defense has come down a little bit. Jimmy Butler, for some reason, can no longer just score on his own of late. Buddy Hield can no longer shoot. And the rest of your roster is unproven pups.
Here's Steve Kerr, by the way, on the Jimmy Butler thing.
Yeah, I got to find a way to get him more into the groove of the game. You know, 11 shots. I mean, I don't know. I don't really consider, you know, Jimmy's game to be dependent on how many shots he gets. But we do need his scoring. We do need his playmaking. I thought we did a better job last year of putting in position to attack and create shots for people. We need to get back to that type of control of the game where, you know, we're going to him in the half court, especially when Steph's out. Going to him in the half court, taking care of the ball, turning the other team over, controlling the game, and we're not there. We've had a few moments during the season, you know, but we're not able to consistently put the ball in Jimmy's hands and let him control games like we did at the end of last year.
Steve tried like hell last night to be like, "This is on me to figure out," and he's not wrong.
That's what he does, though.
But that is his job. But I sort of appreciate, you know, like I did door number three. Like, is it construction or is it coaching?
Yep.
And I'm like, I kind of want to almost move up above that even to the stubbornness of sticking with your decisions too long. I guess that's more construction than coaching. And I do believe that that is the answer. I don't think this is 50-50. I don't think Steve's done a great job this year. I don't think Steve thinks he's done a great job this year. But I do want everybody who's going to call in and everyone's even thinking about this. I do think it's incumbent, if you're going to take a shot at someone, then in the midst of that, answer the question, what would you do? What can be done? What is it? If you think today is a Steve Kerr day, then what is it, as is currently constructed, that's sitting on his bench or rotationally is not happening? What is it that Steve's not doing that would lead to this team winning right now?
It's easy.
What?
Kuminga.
You don't believe that.
I don't fully believe that, but I also believe that when things are going bad, and this is bad, you got to try everything, and right now you're not trying that.
That's fair.
Over the last three games, you haven't tried that.
But they already tried that. It's not like they've been doing no Kuminga all year.
They tried it, and I just think that there's more to it than just, you know, we're choosing not to play him because he doesn't fit right now. I think there's more going on, whether it's him not having the right approach or him not having the right attitude. But Steve last week said at scrimmage, he looked good. He played well. He played hard. And I mean, that could be lip service.
Yeah,
and apparently
these are words.
It was lip service because since then he hasn't played. So I'm not saying that if you play Kuminga, you would have won the last two games. But what I'm seeing is Steve Kerr is searching. and you don't play Seth Curry. I get it. He's your 14th man. And you're barely playing Pat Spencer. Okay. The chariot has turned back into a pumpkin. You're not playing Will Richard of late. I get it. He's a rookie. And, you know, he's going to be fine if you don't play him for a while. And you're not playing Kuminga. Is it because he can't help you in these games? Or is it because that he's not doing the things you want him to do in practice?
I don't know.
Is it both? I don't know what it is.
I think it's what you were saying there the second time, but not practice. It's games. So, like, I wonder, can we all meet in the middle on that? Like, it's not, you're not wrong. Like, sure, try everything. And it does seem odd that when you're a short team that's lacking athleticism, you don't play right. Kuminga. I get that. That makes sense. But all of us, I feel like most of us have coached on some level. Did you coach your kids? Are you a parent? Are you a boss at work? What do you do with the employee or the subject who doesn't do things the way that you want them to do it? What do you do with that person? That's what's going on. The other ones might not be effective at it either, but I think they at least, through Steve's eye, are doing it the way he's asking them to do it. There's nobody else on the floor other than Pod's weird comments that's like, I'm going to be a star one day. Nobody else is trying to be
right
a max player. Nobody. Maybe Pod's, but that also just lands as like, that was just weird comments. You're just a weird dude.
Yeah.
Like that, no one else is trying to be a max player. And Jonathan is. And there's nothing wrong with that, except for there is for the Warriors right now, because that's not what they want him to do.
Exactly. And so you have to approach it however you're going to do it.
Yeah.
And you had me thinking about my first year at St. Joe's coaching boys volleyball. I had an outside hitter named Dennis Soltis, rocket arm, great hitter. He was a sophomore, but he was having a hard time taking a little bit off of it and keeping it in the court.
Okay.
And so after about 8 weeks, I had to go to him and say, Dennis, you're hitting like, it's a negative percentage. When we set you, you hit it off the wall. So now you're going to, and he played with a certain amount of anger and a certain amount of
sounds
angst.
Like it, yeah.
And he'd be getting down on himself. So we had to put him in the back row. And so he became the tallest back row specialist in the East Bay. Kid is about 6'1".
Damn.
And I had to tell him, though, this is what you're going to do for the time being because we can't play you in the front row anymore.
Right.
And so it was the same kind of tough love where, you know, you can't do what you want. We kind of need you to do something. So we had to pivot to that. And I don't know what Steve and Kuminga are, what they're talking about and what they're going through, but clearly they're not on the same page as far as what they're going to do.
It's classic coaching. It's classic sports of physical versus mental. That's all it is. Like when Elliot Ramos strikes out and Elliot Ramos doesn't know the infield fly rule, which one ticks you off more?
Right. The infield fly rule,
because,
for sure.
Right. Like, dude, you gotta know what we're doing out there. That's it. Physical mistakes, no problem. No problem. You know what I mean? Jonathan goes 1-for-10 last week. I'm not offended. Klay Thompson went 0-for-10. Last game as a Warrior.
Melton went 0-for-5 last night.
Right. Like, sometimes it ain't falling.
Yep.
But the intricacies of whatever they see, it has to be like he's not even trying to do it the way that they want him to do it. That's the only, like, that can be the only answer, right?
Yeah.
That has to be the answer.
That, and maybe he's not, you know, behaving the way that they need him to behave. And whether or not it's him walking off the bench in the fourth quarter when he got taken out a few games back on the road trip, maybe that was something that, you know, kind of tick them off a little bit, but I just look at a game like last night where you're playing a young athletic team and your young athlete is a guy who doesn't play. I'm just wondering where this goes next, you know, because you're playing guys who are clearly not as athletically talented as Kuminga and you're losing. So,
right. The same thing you were doing when he was playing.
Well, I mean,
yeah,
you won more games when he played than you have since he hasn't played. Like his record
is that true?
Yeah. I was looking at it earlier. I'll bring it up.
I mean, he's only been not playing for what, 3 or 4 games?
He hasn't played in like 12 games this year.
Well, no, those were, he was hurt.
Right.
I'm talking about decision DNPs.
Yeah, they're 1-2 in those
games.
Okay,
right. Okay.
So
they won in Chicago and then they lost the 2 this week.
Yep.
Okay. Let's go to Rich in Los Altos. Hi, Rich. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, guys. Thanks for letting me on.
Yeah, man.
I don't want to be too negative because I'm a Warriors nut, but this is what I got. I was frustrated with Dunleavy when he was a player, and I'm frustrated with him now. They gave, and I don't want to blame him. They gave Jimmy Butler, who's the eighth highest player in the NBA right now, a Kuminga spot. And ever since that, Kuminga, it broke him. So he's kind of broken. But I still think if they had Kuminga getting those minutes and shots and everything, and then had some other guy making 50, who's worth $54 million, who could shoot three-pointers, that's, you know, when it was Clay and Steph, the Warriors were so cool. When they added Durant, they were unbeatable. That's because they had the three best shooters.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Because that's where we're at now. So, Jimmy, if you watch, I mean, in my opinion, I'm not trying to bash him. I mean, he's amazing. He plays kind of like, I'm an old guy, like my coach would have had us play in the old days. That's what I think. He makes the right play and does this and that, But you know, he doesn't just start bombing off threes. And if you're going to have Steph in there, who very shaky defense, and Draymond, who's no shooting, no, that's taking it too far. He's actually shooting a little better. But you know, I mean, he's not much of a threat. Then, who, you know, where's the scoring going to come from? Especially, like, if you think about it, they're not in, like, OKC's league. If everybody's healthy, not even in their league.
Well, nobody
so,
is.
Like I said, I blame the construction. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, what's Kerr supposed to do? He can't. They play the same position, basically. So Kuminga's screwed.
Yeah. Anyway, so thanks, Rich. I appreciate it. You know, there's one thing that I keep hearing, and I never know what to do with it. When someone says, you know, instead of doing Butler, you could have gone and got some other guy. Who?
Right, and how? Who and how?
Who? This is not, like, it's not a draft. Like, who was available? What other $50 million player on the who plays a different position was available last February? And please, I'm going to push back a little bit with a team that was one game under 500 at the time of the trade deadline, should have, in theory, held that spot for a not healthy Jonathan Kuminga, who had proven nothing in the league as far as being a big-time starter who can give you those kind of numbers on a given night. Why would the Warriors do that? We're not going to acquire Jimmy Butler because Jonathan is about to get healthy and we can get him back and get back to being a 500 team again? Like, why would they do that?
They wouldn't.
And it worked, by the way. It worked last year.
In the short
I get
run,
that it's
right.
not working now, but it did right. work last year.
It worked in a small sample, and then you were able to beat Houston, and Kuminga didn't play, and then he played a little bit, and then, yeah, whatever happened. But Steiny said something earlier, and it kind of hit me, the idea of Draymond and Jimmy not being able to play together that often. If you throw JK in that mix, like Kuminga and Jimmy, last year that was the big thing. Like, they can't play together, and you can't have all three play together. Can Kuminga play with Draymond? Maybe with certain pieces only. And so now you're in a spot where you've got three guys who can't all play together, and you're going to play Jimmy and Draymond, so JK becomes the odd man out.
Right. I mean, you're pot committed on Steph, Jimmy, and Draymond. Like, you could be mad at that, but they're pot committed.
For sure. And you're pot committed on Jimmy at $54 million a year.
And Steph doesn't want it any other way.
Right. I'm sure he'd rather have Jimmy and Draymond and Al than he would Quentin, JK, and Pods. Like, if you gave him the choice of
for sure
trios with whom to play. And that's it's his prerogative, Bobby Brown. Shout out Guru, but it doesn't mean it's going to work.
And by the way, the small sample where Jimmy, it worked last year, larger sample than we've had this year.
That's about the same, I think.
I mean, first of all, they played in the regular season, they played over 30 games together, and then they went into the playoffs and played, what, at least another 10 some odd games at that point.
Because Steph got hurt.
Eight with Steph, right.
Yeah.
Eight with Steph. And they won five of those eight games. So, I mean, not a tremendous, but if you're going to call that a small sample, then you have to call this a small sample.
Fair enough. And I don't know if Jimmy played in all those games, and I'm not going to sit here and quibble with how many versus how many.
Yep.
The bigger issue for me is multifold. One, Jimmy's not playing the same way that he played last year.
No, he's not.
Two, Draymond Green is not as good as he was last year. Three, Steph Curry's already missed a third of the games this year. And fourth, everyone else in the West is better than they were last year. Mm. Portland's a better team.
Not everyone.
Portland's better.
Clippers are worse.
Well, you've only played them once.
Right.
Like, you've played OKC twice.
That's a good thing.
The Spurs are better, even though you beat them both times.
2-0.
And, you know, you look around the association, Portland's clearly better. They're 3-0 against you.
Yeah. Right. Just, but, I mean, I don't think the West is stronger this year than it was last year.
No.
Memphis, out of the way. Dallas, out of the way. Clippers, out of the way. Like, the Warriors.
Lakers are better.
I know.
The Thunder are somehow better.
The Warriors' record is gross, and they're the 8 seed. This is about the same seed they were last year.
What are they, 13-14? Is that right?
Yeah. Under 500, and they're the 8 seed.
That last year, they were 15-12 after 27.
Yeah.
So,
I just mean by the end of the year, the 8 seed was a 48-win team last year. This year, it's under 500.
And it's them, yeah.
Yeah. We're sponsored by Surfside. Golden State Warriors are back. Cheer on those Dubs with an ice-cold Surfside. Only 100 calories, 2 grams of sugar, 0 bubbles. Easy to sip and enjoy. It is not a seltzer. It's Surfside. Proud partner of the Golden State Warriors. Got to be 21. Please drink responsibly. We're not done with your calls at all. Stay right there. We're coming to you, 888-957-9570. That is the number, and it's a victory Monday-ish. Weather and Dibs.
76-70. Warriors left to right they go. Hand off Curry. There's play number one. Curry drives on Clint, takes him for a ride, goes to the right corner, weaving his way, backs up, rainbow three. Are you kidding me? From the right sideline. That was up there, and it took a wave at the world championship banner they have here in Portland from 76-77, and then said, okay, we're going to go down now, and right into the heart of the bucket.
So we got to find a way to connect the game. That's my job. I'm not doing my job well this year. We're 13-14. We have enough talent to be much better. We're losing all these close games, so I got to find a way to help these guys.
Bay Area, it's Steve Kerr. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. You know what, Dibs? I like your picks.
Yeah, Steve. Yeah, you do. And I like your coaching, too, Steve. I mean, you're
still... Don't do that. Don't
honestly,
butter him
what's
up.
He supposed to do?
What is it? Like, yeah, what is he supposed to do?
So you've got
what do you want
one of
to
the
do?
Greatest players of all time.
He says, we've got all this talent.
Let's go to
I have a question.
In the back.
Do you?
You don't.
Do you?
You don't.
Okay. Well, then there's your answer.
Right. Your answer is, it feels like Jeopardy. What is an overestimation of your talent? Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Warriors for 400, please.
And by the way, here's another thing that I can say about this, and this isn't to defend anybody, but the opportunities that the Warriors have had in the draft for these generational, we got next players that you all want are few and far between. Like, anybody who calls in is going to get mad at the Warrior draft. You're going to talk about 2 picks. Well, they screwed up that Wiseman thing.
They did.
Okay. And then Kuminga, even though I'm not really ready to bury the pick, you haven't really gotten anything out of it.
No.
Okay. All right. So there you go. You've now covered a decade of lottery picks, essentially. With 2 picks.
Right, but if those are the only opportunities you have, you got to take advantage.
And of course you do.
I'm thinking of yesterday's yesterday's Niner game where he had Cam Ward had Van Jefferson wide open down the left side right before halftime.
Mm-hmm.
That was your chance.
Yeah.
That was your chance to. I mean, he's like literally wide open.
Yeah, he threw it over his head.
He threw it out of bounds.
Right.
Like, if you throw it to him and he scores, now it's a tie game going into the locker room, and yeah, it's a different ball game.
Right, but like,
Wiseman was a wide open receiver.
That's gonna
at the two pick.
But that's gonna feel. First of all, I don't even know that. Who is it you wanted? Who did you want at number two? That would be so awesome. Now,
any other human being?
Well, that's not fair.
I mean, let me look at the draft.
I mean, exactly.
That's the 2020
draft.
Did
you want Halliburton?
Of course.
Which nobody wanted to take Halliburton at two. Did you want LaMelo Ball? Please.
You know who I wanted?
Who?
And he's still playing, and he's had a better career than Wiseman.
Who?
Obi Toppin. I was smitten with Obi Toppin.
My favorite name in the NBA.
And the athleticism.
Yeah. Okay, fine. Obi Toppin. Boy, we'd be cooking with gas now if we had Obi Toppin.
You know who I really would like?
Who?
The guy who put it all on you last night. Denny Avdija.
Yeah.
He was taken ninth in that draft.
Okay.
Wouldn't you rather have him?
Yes.
Than Hot. This is James Wiseman.
Yes, but if you're going to characterize a team as horrible drafters over a 10-year period because of two picks, one of whom is still on the team, it's like, yeah, you can criticize him for not nailing those picks, but let's stop short of, boy, this is a characteristic of the Warriors. They screw up the lottery every year. They're not in the lottery. They're not in the lottery.
I wouldn't say horrible drafters. I would say when you had your opportunities, and maybe he's got me thinking about hockey with all the guru drops, but it was kind of an empty netter when you're picking number two. Like,
not really.
Here's an idea. Don't pick a guy who played 40 minutes of college ball.
Did you rip the pick at the time?
I ripped the pick. Absolutely.
At the time?
Yeah, yeah.
You did?
Absolutely.
Really?
It was risky. All upside, like high ceiling, and a really low floor.
Like a lot of lottery.
And you never even got to the second story.
A lot of lottery picks haven't played a lot of college basketball. A lot of them.
But this individual had only played literally like three games.
Yeah, he got hurt.
40 minutes.
Yeah, he got hurt.
Well, he got actually ruled ineligible.
Yeah, that too.
So he couldn't play. And then he came out and he was super raw and unproven. So.
Yeah, no, that's, again, this is all fair. I just think you have to add in a piece of this, which is that, and I do believe this, there's a certain level of at least measured inevitability to what we're seeing right now. It's not like the Warriors have just been drunk with opportunities to not be like this. It's like, you got to do better at the draft. They're barely ever in the draft. Well, you should have gotten someone else other than Jimmy. Who? So I'm not disagreeing with any. I'm frustrated too, but have an answer to what they should have done, and I'll give you mine. You should have traded Jonathan 2 years ago because the league was super interested in him at that time, and you weren't. And yes, you wanted it to work out, and you thought maybe it would work out, but even in that moment, actually, I can go back 3 years to when Kerr was benching Jonathan Kuminga in the middle of a playoff series. But it was super easy to brush off at that time because you're like, he's 20. He's 20. And he didn't play college basketball. So, again, I understand all of these things. I get why the Warriors did what they did. But when you are having a hard time, if your gut is telling you a certain thing, you probably should have listened. You probably should have listened then. And now it's too late.
That's not too late.
It is. You're not going to get what you would have got for him.
Don't know. I mean, he's only making $6 million. So
I understand that.
And, that's when you had Chris Paul making 30. And so, you traded Chris Paul in his 30. I guess you could have aggregated him into that as well.
You didn't trade Chris at all. They just let that expire.
Right. And so you got the salary slot,
right,
which is fine. But
you had to give up You had to give up a pick or you had to give up and Rollins and all of that. Like, if you're trading JK, you don't have to give up picks. Like, that would have been the guy that somebody wanted that. You add some salary to it, you probably could have done something. That's all I'm saying.
I think somebody still will want it. Now, are you going to get the player that you might have been able to get a couple years ago? Probably not, depending on who you trade with. There's a sucker born every day, and there's a number of organizations out there that are run very poorly.
Yeah.
So it's up to Mike Dunleavy to now fix this Go ahead and fix it.
You want Trey Murphy? Now you're attaching a pick. Not the other way around.
I mean, you might be throwing in another player because this roster still has a glut of mediocre players. You have too many players who are pretty good. They have a lot of guys who are pretty good players. So maybe New Orleans is going to want an extra body in there.
Joe in Burbank. Hi, Joe. Thanks for the call. What's up?
Hi, Willer. Hi, Dibs. Thanks for taking my call. Unfortunately, I think it's both coaching and bad team structure. But I wanted to ask you guys your opinion. Steiny and Gu were talking about they didn't understand why both Kuminga and Little Richard were on DNPs last night. And I'm kind of thinking not so much Kuminga because he can't be moved till January 15th. But on Little Richard, as far as teams in the league, about a week and a half ago on the rookie list, Little Richard was like the third or fourth best rookie in the league, if you go back and look at that. So obviously certain people think that he was a steal. With the Warriors figuring that they're going to go ahead and move the 2026 pick, if they can to get a trade done now so they can have some help now instead of waiting to January 15th, they might try to trade Little Richard with the 2026 first-round pick, because they might try to persuade teams that he's really should be a late first. And then, of course, they would have to add maybe either Pods or Moody. But I think that's what's going on right now. I think that's why those guys were on DNPs. Who wants to get Kuminga hurt now seriously, where then he has no trade value? And they're trying to stay away from giving up too many first-round picks. So something like Little Richard and players in the 2026 might make sense. So what do you guys think?
Joe, thanks. I
don't know if he wants to be called Little Richard.
Yeah, probably not.
Just because his name is Will Richard, and
remember we asked him what his teammates were calling him. Why am I forgetting what were they calling
Baby
him?
Gator.
Baby Gator.
Baby Gator. Baby Gator.
There you go. Not Little Richard. Baby Gator.
Right.
Get it right. Let's go with Baby Gator.
As opposed to Baby Driver, which is a very underrated movie. In case you have time and you want to catch a film.
Is Mini Driver in Baby Driver?
No, but
okay.
Have you seen Baby Driver, Lucas?
I haven't even heard of this.
I actually have. It's a great movie.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a great story soundtrack. It's a younger kid who drives a getaway car for a gang of outlaws.
Oh.
And he has to listen to music because he's got a certain, I wouldn't say it's a condition, but he's got some quirks.
Well, who the hell doesn't listen to music when they're driving?
But he has like a Walkman
it's
on.
Like neurodivergent.
Yeah, thank you. That's exactly what it is.
Okay.
And he's a really good driver.
Wow.
Baby driver.
Yeah. Neurodivergent sometimes equals elite skills.
It can.
Often in certain spots.
No doubt.
And then, you know, maybe they miss some other things.
Could be.
Then again, maybe we're all neurodivergent.
Anyway, Baby Gator.
I won't criticize Steve Kerr. Maybe I'm neurodivergent.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
I mean, I have my own things going on over here, so I'm not going to ever judge anyone for their...
Seems like a loose way to use this term, but that's all right.
Yeah, I mean...
I'm just saying. By the way, Steve Kerr's not having a great year. I don't know if that helps people.
He's really not, also part of it is because the players that he's tabbing to play aren't playing well. So
right. I still I think I'm in a fair spot when you go that damn Steve Kerr. I get to go, okay, what do you want him to do? What do you want him to do? You coaching? Go ahead. What's the rotation that has the Warriors at 20 wins right
now?
I'm all ears.
I think part of this is why
all ears.
When you look at Kyle Shanahan and he's in the coach of the year conversation, if they end up going 13-4, he's got a chance, especially if Indy continues to come back. Why is he being talked about for coach of the year? A big reason is Mac Jones. He has a backup quarterback who came in and played great.
He certainly helped.
So if his backup quarterback was not very good, even though his beautiful laminated play sheet was awesome and the defense at the time was better, if Mac came out there and stunk and maybe you had to go to Adrian Martinez, whatever, and you wind up going 1-6 in those games, well, then is Kyle Shanahan having a bad year all of a sudden?
Well, maybe.
Right.
I mean, maybe. But yeah,
a lot of that I do think is circumstantial. It's results instead of process.
Yeah, absolutely.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.